What is your understanding of sight loss and blind and partially sighted people in general? Well, that's a question that's being asked not just of the sighted population, but those who have a visual impairment. Now, the research is being carried out via the Royal College of Art and RNIB, and the lead researcher is Luca Kelly. We'll also be chatting with Annalisa Danella to learn more about this particular type of research. Now, Luca, perhaps you could tell me, first of all, a little bit of background to this.
To start off with, there's the How I See campaign, which was a great success, and because of that, we wanted to dive a little deeper into the public perception of sight loss and how that affects people that have sight loss. So that's kind of how it started out.
In terms of the research itself, Luca, how have you gone about carrying that out to get your results?
The research was started off mainly being primary research because it's not something that has been studied a huge amount, so there's not actually a lot of academic papers on it. Most of the research meant that I had to go to a place such as the market, and I had a stall there, and I would just talk to a lot of people. That was initially how I started just getting a bit of a better idea, and then we did something which is called cultural probes, which basically means that you distribute a lot of kind of like mini research packs to a lot of different people, and they record data on there about a particular topic, in this case asking them different things about sight loss, jobs, and what they think someone with sight loss might do as an occupation or as hobbies and things like that. And that's how you gather like the bigger numbers of data. The research that we do is very human-centered, and it's more qualitative rather than quantitative. So a lot of the research meant just talking to individuals and just going out there and kind of organizing public engagement where you can talk to big variety of people. So that means workshops, interviews, and events.
What were some of the findings, and were there any shocks in there?
There was a lot of shocks. I didn't quite realise how bad it is. I mean, I realised that there was a lack of awareness and lack of understanding. But it is so important to address this issue. And so many people are really confused about the topic. And that's why they're kind of hesitant to even like talk about it, even to me, because they don't want to say anything wrong. They don't want to offend anyone. And they kind of become very awkward talking about it. And obviously, misunderstanding affects both in that case. It affects the sighted person who's awkward and confused about everything and the terminology and what can I actually say to someone with sight loss, can I see you later, or things like that. And then obviously a lot of effects in terms of stereotypes and stigmatization.
Were these results a surprise to you?
They were to some extent a surprise to me. I would have liked to be surprised in a different way, that maybe people actually know more than I thought. But the surprise was actually that, okay, no, it is actually just as you feared. It is, people don't know that much. I mean, I think that people are very open-minded and like willing to learn. And I think that was really positive. But something that surprised me was that people have a very deep fear as well within them, like people that are sighted and like thinking about sight loss. And there's a lot of misunderstanding about the reality, and I think they find it really hard to grasp the concept of how it would be like to have your sight affected.
What's the next step then in terms of the research? Is that complete, or are there next steps which you can take?
So at the moment, we're in the last month of the project, which means right now I'm working on an actual output inspired by the research. So we've decided to, first of all, launch a project in the educational sector. So what we're designing is a resource pack for primary school teachers for public schools. And the idea is to educate young children about sensory diversity in general, and also about sight loss, but kind of to open it up more and talk about sensory diversity, that everyone is different, that everyone sees differently, because actually everyone, no matter if you have a visual impairment or not, everyone will perceive differently. So that's kind of the idea that we're going with in terms of this resource. But I would say that this is kind of the first step, and no matter what happens afterwards, I think, you know, we're trying to grow from this. Like, the How I See inspired this project. I'm sure that there'll be people following in my footsteps and continuing this.
Also joining us, we have Annalisa Danella. Tell me a little bit about the part you're playing in the research, Annalisa.
I was involved at the early stages with Harriet Lane. So she and I are both visually impaired people, and she's a writer, I am as well. And we just felt that there wasn't enough happening in terms of raising awareness of visual impairment, and that we as people with visual impairment are finding it very hard to explain to the general public that we weren't blind and yet we also weren't sighted. So we came to the RNIB a few years ago and pointed out that 97% of people with visual impairment who are registered blind or visually impaired have some remaining vision, and that this is a very strange and difficult situation to inhabit, because people kind of think if you're carrying a white stick that you're completely blind. The RNIB then went off and started their How I See campaign, which came very much from a meeting that Harriet and I had with Jay Paul, who works in marketing at the RNIB. And she spearheaded this How I See campaign, which became a big thing. And we were very, very proud of that. But as a result of Harriet's cajoling, the RCA expressed interest in getting involved in trying to solve this problem, which was how to explain to the general public that there's a spectrum of sight loss. And that's where the RCA came in, and that's how we met Luca.
Now, Luca said about the research itself, you know, this is a huge question to undertake, because when you say, what is sight loss, what is visual impairment, what do the public think that is, it is a very, very big question. And you're, as Luca said, challenging probably a lot of stereotypes and preconceptions there.
Absolutely. It's a really weird space to inhabit, being very much not a sighted person and yet being able to read your phone, find the Oyster reader, get through the turnstiles while using a white cane. And people find that difficult to understand. And it's a harder thing to explain to people. And I think Luca, being visually impaired herself, we all feel that there's more work to be done in this area. And Luca actually has started using a term that I absolutely love and that I think would be really useful for me, which is sensory diversity. We talk about the spectrum of sight loss, and it's that we lack the language, and we lack the images, and we lack the representation that is needed for us to really fully inhabit our identities as people who are not fully sighted and yet not completely blind.
We have blind, partially sighted, visually impaired, sight loss. But as you said, you know, 97% of people who are blind who have a degree of vision. And you probably also think that when people see you doing things like that, you know, you mentioned that finding the Oyster reader, walking through the turnstile, they may think, does that person really have a problem with their eyesight, yet they're walking about with a cane?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's just a sort of constant tension, the damned if you do and damned if you don't. So I quite often don't use my cane. And then I encounter a lot of public aggression because people think I'm being rude because I'm standing in their way. And then when I do use a cane, I feel like I possibly would confuse them if I were to say, oh, I really like your earring. You just feel like that what we've been given is a very blunt instrument, which is the cane. And I'm heavily reliant on the cane. You know, I don't know where I'd be without my cane. But it is a blunt instrument in that it brings out blind to the general public, and that isn't what I am. So we really feel that this is a really fantastic area and a really untapped area for really creative minds to get together and try and solve the problems. And that's where the RCA came in, and that's why it's such an exciting marriage between the RCA and the RNIB to get these really creative minds focused on a very real problem that exists for most of us.
There's almost two questions that crop up then, Annalisa, through the research that Luca's doing. Obviously, she's looking at the public's perception of sight loss. And the public could be everyone, so sighted, blind, partially sighted. I suppose when you think about it, then what do sighted people know about it? What should be the label that they use? But also for people who have a degree of sight loss, you know, do they see themselves as blind, as partially sighted? There's probably a couple of big questions there.
Identity is a really big thing. And I think if you're somebody who does suffer from sight loss and you get to that point where your mobility is really affected by your sight loss and someone comes around and gives you a cane and says, there you go, your identity changes overnight. And I think the better that it is understood in general, the easier it is for us to understand who we are and what our own identity is as a visually impaired person.
Luca has told us about the resources to be created for school, moulding young minds. They're the adults of the future, make these changes more. But do you think there's other work that can come from this?
Yes, absolutely. And I know the RCA are really keen to look at the question of visual identity. Luca has been looking into ideas such as a ribbon or a badge that could be worn to just generally raise awareness of visual impairment. You know, to say, I understand visual impairment, or I support people with it, or more specifically, for people like me and Harriet Lane to wear, so that people understand, if we're not carrying our cane, that we are visually impaired. This is something that Harriet and I feel really strongly about. It's very, very difficult for us to explain it to the public, and that if there was something we could wear, just a symbol that could be used in conjunction with this raising awareness work, that could be shorthand, that would be very, very useful. So I know there's a lot of thinking to be done on that, but that's something that could be very exciting for the RCA to focus on next.
Yes, you have wristbands, you have ribbons for different things we hear about all through the year to bring kind of focus to a particular topic, whether it's cancer awareness or something like that. Is that the kind of thing you're thinking about there instead of just the cane or the guide dog?
Exactly. And it's by no means to replace those two things. It wouldn't be very useful to wear a badge. But it's just to explain that perhaps we can see a little bit, actually, when we're holding our canes, or that when we're not holding our canes, you know, like if you're in a bar, you know, I put my cane in my handbag and I can stand at the counter and I might be in somebody's way. But if I'm wearing that badge, then they say, oh, she hasn't seen me. You know, that's what it is.
Just finally, Luca, if people would like to learn more about the project or perhaps, you know, submit something towards this to help take it further, can they get in touch?
Yes, please. I welcome anyone who has any questions, any feedback, or just wants to get in touch. You can reach me at my email address, which is luca.killie@network.rca.ac.uk.
Some big questions coming out of that research, and definitely potential for more there with the resource packs for kids and the identifier as well, and something we definitely like to keep track of here. But for the moment, to Luca and to Annalisa, thanks to both of you for speaking with us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for having us.